Morning. It's good to see everyone out here this morning. It's been a while since I've been up here, but I'm very thankful for the opportunity that both Lynn and Robert have given me to be able to share a few thoughts in the absence of Lynn. And hopefully some of the thoughts that I present to you this morning can help you in your daily lives and your struggles and to help you in your fight against the wiles of the devil and to continue to serve God and do His will. This morning, if you would, turn over to Genesis chapter 39. That's where we'll be beginning from, in Genesis chapter 39. Now, in January, I had the pleasure of finally going to college for the first time. I was able to go down to FC, and it was amazing down there. I enjoyed every second of it. Everyone down there is serving. It's so great to see everyone down there, you know, same age group as me that's striving to serve God, that is, you know, just so interested in having songs and studying from the Bible and things like that. It was a wonderful experience that I've had. And I'd learned a lot down there and I've done a lot of things. And as some of you may notice, I look a little different from when I left in January. I've lost a few pounds. And while doing that, there's two main things that I had to do. The first was I had to eat healthy. I can't tell you how many times that I had to eat grilled chicken, steamed broccoli, and steamed carrots. For 2 months straight, that's all I ate for lunch and dinner. Wasn't very satisfying, wasn't very fun, but I think with physically, how eating healthy can help us lose weight. Also, you know, eating healthy spiritually, such as the Word here, can help us and our spiritual lives and make us healthy spiritually. But the second thing that I had to do a lot of, which was, I think, probably not as hard as eating the grilled chicken every time, but it was running. I ran a lot. And running was just something that at first was very hard for me, and now I quite enjoy it, but there are still days that it's sometimes I'm just like, I don't want to go out and go for a run. But I think that's the second thing right there, that running can help us not only physically, but it can also help us spiritually. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at the Bible runners. We're going to look at some of the people in the Bible who ran. And I think with their example of what they did when they ran can help us as Christians to continue to run that race, run with endurance. And so the first one we're going to look at is in Genesis chapter 39, and that being Joseph. Joseph is the first Bible runner we're going to look at this morning. And if we look, turn over to Genesis chapter 39, down in verse 11, beginning in verse 11, it reads, "But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' But he left his garment in her hand, and fled and ran outside." Now we know this story here. This is where Potiphar's wife is trying to lie with Joseph. But Joseph, at this time, being a young man, I can't even contain like and express how much it means to me as a young man such as Joseph. We all know what we're going through as young men, the hormones and stuff like that that we're having. To sit there and have someone sit there and say, "Lie with me." Yet Joseph here, he didn't stop and he didn't yield to that temptation. He literally fled outside. He ran away. He didn't give a second to sit there and wait and think about it. He ran. And I think through that example is what we need to do, because we see that when we run from temptation, it can help us in our fight. So we don't have to sit there and be tempted. When we're tempted and we sit there and allow it to sit there and culminate in our minds as we sit there and think, it gives us time to maybe turn to that temptation, turn into that sin. But Joseph here, he ran from that temptation. He didn't give himself time to sit there and think about it. He ran away from it. And I think if we don't run, and I can't say for Joseph what would have happened if he would have sat there and thought about it, what decision he would have made. But I know if we turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 11, we can see with David and Bathsheba what happened. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. In verse 1, beginning in verse 1, it reads, "It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers and took her. And she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. We see here David's walking around on the top of this roof, and he gazes upon a beautiful woman bathing. And what does David do? Well, he didn't do what Joseph did. He didn't turn around and run back inside. He sat there and he gazed. He looked. And then after that, he inquired about her. He wanted to know who she was. And then we see in verse 4 what they ended up doing. Because David didn't run, he was able to give in to his temptation, to his lust. And I think that's the consequences. If we don't run from that temptation, that we can give in to those. And it's very hard for us. And we even see that the Bible, it teaches us to flee from these temptations. If we look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, it tells us there to flee sexual immorality. Literally flee from it. Run away from it. Also in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, we see Paul's instructing Timothy to flee youthful lust. Run away from it. Don't give yourself time to think about it. Flee from it. And I think that's the first Bible runner. I think Joseph, the first Bible runner, gives us a great example of running from the sin, the temptation to sin. Getting away from it as far as we can and as fast as we can. So that's the first Bible runner. The second one we're going to look at is the man with the unclean spirit. If you'll turn over to Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. We see here in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, this is the man with the unclean spirit, and he's in torment. He's got this demon inside of him. Beginning in verse 1, it happened in the spring of the year, at a time when kings go out to battle, that David sent... Let me turn over to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Then it came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling place among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken into pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. We see here this man, he's in torment. He's in pain. He has this unclean spirit inside of him. And continuing in verse 6, we see what he does. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." This man saw Jesus from afar, and what did he do? He ran to worship him. And I think that should be our mindset and our attitude. We should be running to worship God. You know, I can't tell you how many mornings, and this is from my own personal experience, I can't speak for people here, but how many mornings have I woken up and, you know, decided, "Oh, I don't feel too good," or, "Oh, I'm too groggy. I really don't want to go to services this morning. Maybe I can, you know, I can go to the evening service, or I can get some more sleep. I don't feel too good. I don't want to go." And I can tell you it's a lot more times that I've had that feeling than I've woke up in the morning and said, "Hey, I want to go worship God. I want to be at services and I want to sing out to God. I want to study from His Word." That's one of those things that's very hard for me. And we should be just as eager to run and worship God, just as this man was. And if we turn over to the 100th Psalm, I think this psalm here exemplifies how we should be worshiping God and our attitude towards that. The 100th Psalm. It reads, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." That's the kind of attitude we should have wanting to serve God. Not a, "Oh, I don't really feel like it this morning," or "I have to go serve God." I have to go to worship. We should want to be running to go worship God at any chance. Someone asks us to have a Bible study. We should be wanting to run to go worship God and do those things, to serve and study from His Word. And that's the second example we get with the man with the unclean spirit. The third example we're going to look at is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, this wee little man. If we look over in Luke chapter 19, we get this example here. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. We see here Zacchaeus ran to see Jesus, ran to understand and to study what Jesus was, to inquire about him. And I think this is of Zacchaeus, as we see he's mentioned as a chief tax collector. And tax collectors back in those times, and I guess kind of in these times too, are viewed as in a bad sense. You know, they cheated people. They stole money from them back in that time. Yet Zacchaeus ran to go see who this Jesus was. And Zacchaeus was not going to allow anything to get in his way to do that. You know, his short stature and all these people, this crowd in front of him, he's kind of sitting. I just picture a person sitting on their tippy toes trying to see. Can't see him. You know, most of us would sit there and be like, oh, well, I guess I'm not going to see him today. Maybe at another time. But no, Zacchaeus, he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore tree. He wasn't going to allow, you know, his short stature, all these people in front of him, to get into his way. And the first thing that came to my mind when I was reading this, I think of the postal service and the creed that they have. You know, how they're talking about neither snow nor rain, nor heat nor gloom of night stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. We see here, these postal servicemen aren't going to allow anything to get in their way from delivering these packages. And neither should we have anything getting in our way from going to learn about God, from studying from His Word, and continuing to sing praises unto Him. Nothing should get in our way. And if we turn over to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 37, Matthew 28 and verse 37, we see here in this verse, it said, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And that should be our mindset. That if we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all our mind, we're not going to allow anything to get in our way. We're going to be wanting to run to go to Jesus and not sit there and just lollygagging about and not wanting to do anything about it. But running to run and go find out who Jesus is and studying from Him. So that's the second Bible runner. The fourth one we're going to look at is Philip. And this, over in Acts chapter 8 and verse 30, this is probably one of my favorite verses or parts of Scripture to read. Acts chapter 8 and verse 30. We see here, this is Philip when he goes to teach the Ethiopian eunuch. So in Acts chapter 8 and verse 30, it reads, "So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Do you understand what you were reading?'" We see here, Philip runs to go meet this man, to go teach him about Jesus. We see here in a few verses up in 26, the angel has instructed him to go to this road, and he's just walking around. He has no idea what's going on. And then the angel says in verse 29 to go run to the chariot, to go over there. And he runs to the chariot. He goes there. He doesn't sit there and wave his arms and try to get his attention, but he runs to that chariot to stop it and ask about, "Is this Isaiah that you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading?" And I think that should be our mindset as Christians, is wanting to run to go teach the Word to people. And I know that that for me is one of the hardest things too. We let fear get in front of us. And I know for me is, oh, well, I'll let someone else do that. You know, I go into Panera Bread or something, and I see someone reading a Bible in there. You know, sometimes it's just like, well, you know, maybe they're just reading and studying, and I'm not really going to say anything to them. I'm not going to ask what they're reading about and ask them and start a discussion. Because, I don't got enough time. You know, I got to be going to pick someone up, or I got to be going to work. No, we should be wanting to run over there and ask, hey, do you understand what you're reading? What are you studying from? And I know for that, for me, is one of the hardest things to do. We see here, you know, we see that in Matthew chapter 28, if we turn over to Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, we see that Jesus has instructed us to go preach the word. And I know, like I said, for me, it's really hard to do that, to be able to go out and teach people one-on-one because, you know, I'm afraid sometimes, you know, what the people are going to think of me, what the people are going to say to me, you know, if it's going to turn out okay or not. But in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus specifically instructs us to go do that, to go teach the word. In verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.'" So that's just the fourth Bible running we see. We see Philip running to go teach the word. And I think that us as Christians should be wanting to do that, willing to go run to go teach that word to people, be willing to have that attitude to want to teach the word to people. The fifth Bible runner we're going to look at this morning. Oh, and sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 11, 23 through 28, if we'll turn over there, we see here that Paul's hardships he suffered. All the things that he did, you know, all the things that happened to him, the things that he had suffered. In verse, starting in verse 23 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it begins, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In witness and toil. In sleeplessness often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. In cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." We see here Paul is suffering all these hardships. Yet he wasn't going to allow that to get in his way of teaching the word to people, going out and going on his missionary journeys and spreading the gospel. That should be our attitude, to want to run and go do that, no matter what. Because I know as a runner, sometimes you're going to hit that brick wall. Your muscles are going to be sore from the run before. Or you're going to wake up and be too tired. You come up with 100 excuses. Oh, I'm too tired. Muscles are too sore. I don't have enough time today. Well, we make the same excuses when we go to teach the word. Oh, I'm too scared. Oh, I don't know if I can. What I'm going to say is right. We see Moses doing the same thing when God is instructing him to go talk to Pharaoh and free the Egyptians, his people from Egypt. He's like, well, I'm not that good of a speaker. We make all these excuses, yet we shouldn't be. We should be running to go teach that word, no matter what. And so that's the fourth one. Philip was the fourth Bible runner we looked at. Now the fifth one we're going to look at is the rich young ruler. If we turn over to Mark chapter 10 and verse 17, Mark chapter 10 and verse 17, we see here this rich young ruler. Now, I think this is a great example of what he did at the beginning, but at the end, well, we know his decision he made was not a good one. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 17, it reads, "Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" We see here this man ran to go learn about salvation. And that should be us. When we were first becoming Christians, when we first heard the word, did we run to go learn about it, or did we kind of wait around and say, well, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day? Well, if there are some here this morning that, you know, haven't, you know, become and made the decision to become a Christian, they should be hearing this and learning that they need to run to learn about their salvation, to fall and not do what this rich young ruler did and not following, walking away sorrowful, but turning their lives around. And we see also in Acts chapter 16, verses 29 and 30, we see the Philippian jailer doing the same thing. You know, there's an earthquake that goes on at this jail. And he thinks his prisoners have escaped and he's about to kill himself because the punishment for allowing your prisoner to escape was death. Yet Paul and Silas are in there and they say, wait, you know, we're still all here. So what does he do? He comes running inside and tells them, what shall I do? What shall I do to be saved? And that should be the mindset of people, of wanting to run to salvation. And we should be eager to save. And the reason why is if we look over in Luke chapter 12 and verse 20, we see here this is another passage of a rich man who has built up these big barns and he has this humongous field. And what does he do? Oh, I'm going to build myself bigger barns. I'm going to tear down these old ones. I'm going to build myself bigger barns. And he's talking about how great his life is. We see at the end of that, in verse 20, it says, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose those things will be which you have provided? We see here, we don't know the time or hour that God is going to come. We don't know the time or hour that we're going to be taken from this earth. And that's why we should be running to salvation, running to want to learn about God. Also, if we have already been saved and we've strayed from that path, wanting to run back to the path, running back to God and learning His Word and following Him each and every day. We also see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2, this just exemplifies we don't know the time when the Lord will come. In verse 2 it says, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. We don't know when He's going to come. We don't know when a thief's going to come in the night. And we don't know when the Lord's going to come. The last Bible runner we're going to look at this morning is Paul. If we turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, we see here Paul himself was a Bible runner. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. We see here Paul was running that race. We see over in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, that life is compared to as running a race. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. In verse 1 it reads, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We see here that life is compared to a race. And that's the whole point of this lesson, is why we should be running spiritually. It's because we see here in verse 1, it says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Well, how can we run with endurance if we haven't been running already? I can tell you, if I just decided, if I had to go run a marathon in 4 months, and from this day forward, I just sat at home and didn't do anything. I watched YouTube and Netflix and I ate potato chips and drank soda. And I didn't go out for jogs, that when that day of the race came, I'm not going to have a lot of endurance. I'm not going to be able to go very far. But if I've trained myself and I've continued to run, I can have that endurance to finish that race. And we see Paul here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. At the end of his life, he's telling Timothy that I have finished that race. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And that is our goal as Christians, is to finish that race. To run that race to the end. And the only way we're going to do that is if we have endurance. And the way to get endurance is to continuously run. Spiritually running. Doing the things. Wanting to teach the Word. Wanting to go out and learn about the Word. Wanting to worship God. If we continue to run every day as Christians, we can run that race with endurance and finish the race just as Paul has. So in conclusion, we've looked at Joseph, the man with the unclean spirit, Zacchaeus, Philip, the rich young ruler, and Paul. All these men were runners of the Bible. And all of them gave us a great example of what we should do as Christians about wanting to run to go serve God, do His will, and do the things that we read about in the Bible. So in conclusion, will you run that race tonight? Will you have the endurance to finish the race? If there is anyone here this morning that has not made that decision to yet become a Christian, or maybe has or has fallen away, has strayed from that path, we ask you and we beg you, come running. Come running to that salvation. Come running to God. Because God is going to be there. He's going to accept you. And He'll allow you, you'll have a place with Him, and He'll be able to comfort you and give you comfort. So if there's anyone here that this applies to this morning, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.